Okay, Psalm 73. That psalm Johnny just read describes the sufferings of Christ on the cross. Y'all know that, don't you? Isn't that something how David, 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified, described exactly what would happen to the Lord? Isn't that something? Boy, just goes to show you the Bible is God's Word. Psalm 73. Read the first 14 verses of this psalm. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But listen at verse 2. The psalmist said, but as for me, my feet were almost slipped. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You see people everywhere getting ahead of you, doing better than you, might have better health than you. And you're trying to live for the Lord, and you wonder, what's going on? This is what the psalmist experienced. This psalm describes me perfectly, amen? Maybe you too, if you think about it. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death. They just die so prosperous. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. You hear the kind of people he's describing? And they're doing better than him. You see people like that, right? Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. I've lived for the Lord that didn't pay, he said, so much. Well, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. But look at verse 17. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. When he went to church, he found out them people that had done so good in this life, they got an answer to God. And they're going to live without God now. Isn't that something? So you might be struggling today. You may be wondering why is life so hard on you today. And other people, they're riding in shiny cars, and they're just prospering in the world and got big positions in life. And they cuss and drink and all that. And you wonder, how are they getting ahead like that, living like that? The devil blesses his people, church. Y'all know that? Did y'all know that? Yeah. The devil blesses people, too. But God lets his people sometime be poor so they'll depend on him. and love him and serve him. That's what we need to learn to do in life. Don't base your life on what other people's got. Just trust the Lord. Kind of goes along with our Sunday school lesson. If you stop and think about it. We're just supposed to trust the Lord. And the Lord will make a way for us. I grew up on a tenant farm, and I guess most of y'all know what a tenant farm was. We were poor as dirt. All of our neighbors were just as we were, poor tenant farmers, working every day in the fields. 6 days a week. We worked 6 days a week, every week. We never took a day off from work, Monday through Saturday, because there was always something to do on the farm. When I went to school, my mama made me took a brown bag, and she made me a lunch, which consisted of a cold biscuit with collards in it or turnips. Sometimes it was a peanut butter or maybe a fried ash potato. She also made me a little jar of milk that I took with me. At school, most of my classmates went to lunch, to the lunchroom. I never in 12 years ate in the lunchroom. I wanted a lunchroom meal. I never did. But several of us stayed in the class and ate our biscuits, you know. When there was a movie to be shown in the auditorium at our school, most of the class went. But there were several of us who couldn't go because we didn't have a nickel to pay the fee to see the movie. At Christmas, when we came back to class, many of our classmates were telling and showing all the clothes they got and all the other things they got that Santa Claus had brought them at Christmas. I used to wonder, why Santa never left us very much? I couldn't understand that. Looking back now, I can see the wisdom of being raised poor. Because it teaches you to be careful with your money. It also taught me you don't need everything you want. We all just need to learn to trust the Lord and serve the Lord, and he'll take care of you. In Job 11:16, we all, I hope, know about Job. He was the most godly man of his day, it appears. He lived somewhere around 2100 B.C., somewhere in that area. It's not known exactly. It's the oldest book in the Bible. But what we know about Job is found in the book of Job. Job said in 11:16, "Because thou shalt forget thy misery, remember it is water that passes away." Think about some of the hard times you had in your life. You've just more or less forgot about it now. They just been left in days gone by. But when you were going through them, they were hard, weren't they? They were difficult. And sometimes maybe you didn't know what to do. Job said life is a lot like that. Sometimes you go through trying times, as our Sunday school lesson was about. But later on, you just remember it as a day gone by. Job, who had a difficult life, could look back on his life and see how hard the times had been and what he had experienced. You know, he's the man that had lived so good before God that Satan wanted God to touch his life and make his life miserable. But God wouldn't do that. But God allowed Satan to do that. But God put limitations on what Satan can do. Thank God for that. Amen. Aren't you glad God puts a limitation on what the devil can do to you? Praise the Lord. Life could be a lot worse than it is, folks. Yeah. We're all going to experience afflictions in this life. Just because we live in a world that's cursed with sin. And not only there is a devil that hates us all. And that wants to afflict us. He wants to keep us away from God. Or cause us not to trust the Lord. In Genesis 3:17 through 19, God has put us here. God has not put us here in this world to live a carefree life, a life of partying. Some people just want to party all their life, live carefree. God told Adam, he said, Adam, because you hearkened to the voice of your wife, you listened to her and you didn't listen to me. And hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, said, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Oh, did you hear that? God said, Adam, you listened to your wife and not me. Now the ground's cursed for your sake. Isn't that an odd statement for God to say? The ground's cursed for your sake. You know what God was doing, church? God was going to cause Adam to struggle in life so Adam would remember to look to him and trust in him. Let me ask you something today. Are you struggling? Have you struggled? Does your struggling cause you to remember you need someone greater than yourself? You need to depend on the Lord. You need to call on the Lord. I'll tell you what, folks. I'm not a super spiritual person. I'm not trying to boast or anything. But I see God bless me so much that it's staggering. I'm sitting there on my computer yesterday, and my email, I had a bunch of emails in there, and they wouldn't delete out. And I said, Lord, this is a new computer, and these emails won't delete out. I said, Lord, help me get rid of this stuff. Did you know I had struggled there for a while with it? I couldn't get it out. I'd get it out, and it'd come right back. But you know what? After I prayed, those emails got out. That's just one. I have stuff like this every day happen to me. And sometimes I find myself, stupid me, going along trying to resolve it myself when I need to call on the Lord. And then when I stop and call on the Lord, it's resolved. And I'm not boasting in and of myself. I'm just telling, like our Sunday school, we need to pray. Amen. Amen. We need to call on the Lord, depend on the Lord. And I tell you, he makes up the difference in our lives, folks. Yeah. God said to Adam, he said, I'm going to curse the ground for your sake. So you remember, I'm the Lord, and you need me. Amen. We can all be sure we'll face struggles and disappointments in life. You're going to have them. No matter who you are. No matter how educated you are, life's going to work out where you're going to have problems and struggles. But you got to remember, if you're a saint of the Lord, and everybody that's saved is a saint of the Lord, you got to, and I've got the Lord that we can call on, that we can trust in. And we got to remember, God is a wise God. He knows how to control us. to keep us in our place. To keep us in our place. That don't mean we're not to use our talents to the fullest that we can, but we got to trust the Lord, folks. Learn to wait on the Lord. There's wisdom in learning from your experiences in life. There's wisdom in that. I told Johnny a while ago, I said, Johnny, I told Mr. Chavis a while ago, I said, listen, we give Samaritan Purse $500 here a while back. And you know what? God has more than made up for it in our church. God just keeps blessing us. We're not a big body of people here. But you go around in this county and find how many churches are on 15 radio stations. You go around, you won't find one. You'll hardly find one that's on one. Folks, God's going to bless you how you sacrifice. You just keep sacrificing, trying to get out the gospel. That's what we're here for, to get out the gospel. The psalmist talked about brighter days in Psalms 30 and 5, talking about God, for his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You ever cried at night? But by the time the morning comes, it's another day. And you find strength to go on, press on, live on. Yeah, we might weep and struggle. Life can get very hard, folks. I've had my heart ripped out many times. But you learn from it. You learn from it. And it's good for us. We don't think so, but it's good for us. Sometimes we may think the Lord has forgotten us, but the Lord don't forget his saints. The Lord don't forget his children. Sometimes because we get our eyes off God, he lets us get in difficult positions. Do you know that? We get our eyes off God. We get so involved with this, that, or the other, we forget about God. Didn't read my Bible today. I didn't have time. You had 24 hours. Didn't have time to pray today. I just got too busy. Yeah. Sometimes God lets us have problems to get our attention, church. To remind us who we are. You know why he does that, church? Not because he wants to hurt us. He loves us that much. He knows if we stay in fellowship with him, we're going to stay out of trouble. Amen? Amen? If you stay in fellowship with the Lord, you'll stay out of trouble. Yeah. It's easy to forget God, church. There ain't no super saints out here. Don't you think you're a super saint? You ain't. No, you can forget God. It's easy to forget God because we can get focused on what I want. Yeah. Yeah, we better humble ourselves as people. Don't you get too proud. Think you're so spiritual. We're not. We don't have room to get proud, folks. No. Sometimes we want to live too fast. Well, I'm going to give me this. Yeah, you might regret it later. We better walk careful before the Lord. We better walk fast We better not walk too fast. God knows how to slow us down. God knows how to slow us down. God's goal for every one of us is a better life. And sometimes a better life is not God's better life. Did you know that? Yeah. Sometimes we can get too high and mighty. God wants to bless us, but he wants to bless us his way. His way is not our way, church. Our way is pride, selfish. I'm better than so-and-so down the road. Look how I've accomplished. No, folks, it's not like that with God. God's better life is, you know what God's better life is? Listen to me. It's being more spiritual. It's walking humbly before the Lord. God wants humble children that love him. If you love the Lord, you'll walk humbly. Let's talk about deliverance in Psalm 34:19. Listen to this, church. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That was in our lesson today. Now, I worked on this lesson. I started last week. I hadn't even read my Sunday school lesson at this time. I didn't even know what it was about. But he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, you look back over your life and see how many afflictions you've had. You can't even keep up with them. You've had so many probably. But they're in the past. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but listen, the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You see, look how many times you've been delivered. Amen? Trial after trial God has brought you through. You don't know how many times you almost got a wreck coming to church this morning. Did you know that? I tell you what, we got in a mess yesterday, Johnny. We got in a sardine can yesterday. You couldn't even turn around. Now, I hadn't heard about what y'all talked about a while ago that happened back there, and I was right in the middle of it with that little old fake, calls it a, what is it you call that? A lawnmower. It's a little, her car. She calls it a lawnmower. But you can turn it around on a dime almost. It's so small. But if it hadn't been a little, I don't know where we'd have got out of that place or not, folks, I tell you. Yeah. James says in James 1, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. When trouble come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, he wrote. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. You have a chance to grow when you're challenged. Yeah. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fuller developed, you will be perfect, complete, and needing nothing, James wrote. Living in a fallen world, we're living under the curse of sin, and we're going to have trials. As I've already said, but there's one thing, if we'll trust the Lord, we can depend on the Lord to deliver us. Amen? We can depend on the Lord to deliver us, whatever we might face in life. And it's amazing how he does deliver us. And sometimes you're going through a hard time or a hard place, and suddenly, before you realize it, you're out of it. It's like going under an underpass, you know. You go under an underpass and it's dark momentarily, and then as you shoot out the other side. Sometimes our struggles are kind of like that. The psalmist said in Psalms 37:3, trust in the Lord. See, that's our goal, church, all of us. That's God's goal for me and you. Right there. In Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord. Live for the Lord. Be conscious of the Lord that you're accountable to. We're all accountable to the Lord. Everybody is. But some people live like they are not. But one day they're going to find out too late they were. Going to be a sad day for them folks that didn't trust in the Lord, church. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Yeah, trust in the Lord. You can't do anything better in life, neither can I, than trust in the Lord. Sometimes the days can look dark. Sometimes they can look like there's no hope. Sometimes it might look like you can't make it. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Because he makes a way. Because that's one of his names. I am the way. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the waters, listen to this. When you're going through a storm or a trial, I'll be with thee. Listen to that. No matter what you're going through, no matter how much your heart aches, remember this if you're a Christian. Remember it. Listen. The Lord's with you. Even in that trial. Isn't that comforting? The Lord said, I'm with you. The Lord can't lie. Isn't that great? Yes. The Lord says, I'll be with you through the rivers. They shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We knew the three Hebrew boys, they were literally thrown in a fiery furnace. And they come out without even the smell of smoke on them. God is able. Amen? God is able. God says, I'm with you, church. I'm with you, my child. Don't you forever forget it. Don't you ever forget it. The Lord is with you. You've been saved. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What promises, folks? What promises in the Word of God? I believe it. Y'all believe it? You can believe it. We can be sure we're going to have trying times. We're going to face loss of families, family members, friends, family problems we go through, career problems, sicknesses, and a host of other issues in life. But the Lord has promised to be with us. We only need to remember his promises and trust him. Put him to the test. Day after day, church. Why? Well, he said, I'll be with you because you're my child and I love you and I care for you. And God's letting us have these trying experiences to help us keep our mind on him and to realize we need him, folks. We need him. Yes, we'll feel sorrow and loss, but we have the comfort of his presence and the promise of his word. Oh, what a pleasure to sit down and open up the Bible when your heart is heavy and read the scriptures. What solace they give and comfort and hope. What encouragement comes from the Word of God? And only the children of God knows this. and experience this. We're so blessed. We're so blessed to have God as our Father who loves us. So if God sees fit to bless us, let us love Him and serve Him, because one day we're going to live with Him where there's not going to be any more sorrows and struggles like we're going through today. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 41:3, talking about divine care and sickness, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou will make all his bed in his sickness." Our life in this world is likely to experience sicknesses from time to time. You ever been sick? I mean, really sick? Several weeks ago, I sat down, and I just, out of curiosity, started to writing down some of the things that I had experienced in my life. And I started off, I was born with yellow jaundice and polio, so I started off on a good start. Then I had the measles and the mumps and the whooping cough and the chicken pox. I had all those childhood diseases or sicknesses. I've had about 3 or 4 heart attacks, leukemia. I've had my kidneys rupture. I had third stage cancer, kidney failure now. I've had everything but a baby, I reckon, so. So I'm just waiting on the unexpected, Brother Chavis. But I wound up with 23 or 24 different things that I could recall that I've experienced in my 84 years of sicknesses. So I know what it is to have physical problems. What you grinning about?
You forgot the rupture,
dependence,
and heart trouble.
I did. I mentioned those. You were asleep during that period. I mentioned them. Yeah. Anyway, where were we at here? Anyway, you're going. But listen, I've had all these things, and I'm still here. Can God take you through something? Can God take you through some, brother?
I'm right behind you, preacher.
I tell you what now. Yeah. Yeah, God, one of the great truths of Christianity is the promise in the Word of God that He is always with us. And He's going to make a way for us if He's got a plan for us. Amen? Nothing don't stop Him. Look what Paul went through, folks. Yeah. Our life in this world is likely to experience sickness. Let's not forget He's the great physician, though. Amen? And there is no disease or affliction He can't heal. He can heal anything. He can keep you from having it. Sometimes He allows it for some reason. We don't know why all the time. He may heal us many times, or he may choose to allow us to have disabilities. Did you know that? He may let you have a disability for a reason that you don't know. But He don't make mistakes. That's what we got to remember. He doesn't make mistakes. He lets us have our problems and our trials for some reason. We might learn later in life when we get to heaven why, but He may not even tell us then why. He might say, it's none of your business. We may be called upon to suffer afflictions because of the gospel, Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:8. Listen to this scripture. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. As a believer, you might have to suffer because you are a Christian. Don't forget that. You may have to suffer because you are a Christian. And especially now in our generation, when we see what's coming on, I believe we're on the edge of the tribulation myself. Now, that's my personal belief. You can believe what you want to. I believe the rapture could happen any second. And the rapture. But I don't know how rough it's going to get before the tribulation as it draws close before God raptures us out. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Are you troubled this morning? Ye believe in God? Y'all believe in God? Believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions, or abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. John told that to his disciples. I believe that encompasses all of us, though, because Jesus is going to come back one day. He said he was. We read that today in this church where two angels said as Jesus went away, he'd so come back. I believe he will. Myself, I believe he's coming back. My brothers and sisters here today, I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe he personally is coming back. First of all, in the rapture, he's going to meet us. We're going to meet him up in the air somewhere out of the sight of this world. We're going to call to be with him. But he's going to literally come back one day and take over the governments of this world. I believe that also. When we look at the world around us, we see all kinds of places called homes for people to live in. I've seen people living in old buses, tents, shabby shacks, mobile homes, wood frame homes, stones, bricks, some houses they call mansions. Then in other parts of the world, people are living in bamboo huts, mud huts or reed houses, some in igloos. On and on, there's different kind of places people stay at. They call it home. Boy, we got a real home one day, haven't we, Brother Chavis? We got a real home one day. It won't be no shack. And I believe, personally, I think it's described in Revelation 21. In the New Jerusalem, I believe that's the home of the Bride of Christ, which that's what the church is, the Bride of Christ. But we're going to live in heaven one day with the Lord. Y'all ever think about living in heaven with the Lord, folks, when you won't ever hear any more bad news? Won't be any cell phones there ringing with the scam alerts either. Amen. We got this one call we get every day, 3 or 4 times a day, scam alert. It's just aggravating. You can't have... It's just constantly. I don't even answer the phone. If y'all call me and I don't answer, it's not because I don't want to answer. But all these calls we get, it comes in. Lord have mercy. But I think we all should praise the Lord for the home that's waiting on us. We're going to have loved ones there that we haven't seen in years. We're going to have friends there. We're going to meet people that we wanted to meet. I want to meet old Adam. I have a few words with him. Amen. Amen. I want to see old Abraham. Amen. And Jacob and all those guys. Moses. Yeah, we're going to get to talk to them, Johnny. Yeah, we're going to get to talk to all them people. We're going to get to meet them. Yeah, it's going to be a time, folks. And we're going to, you know, there's not going to be any parting once we get to heaven. Not going to be any goodbyes. Won't that be good? No, there's not going to be anything like that. Yeah. What we need to do today is to learn how to be satisfied with how God is blessing us, church. Learn to be satisfied with what God's letting us have in this life. And use what we have to help exalt Christ, promote Christ. That's why we're here as God's people. God's calling out of this world of humanity. And this troubles me much. I think about this a lot. This mass humanity of people and only a few serving God. It troubles me that people have no interest in God. And the masses of people that's going to be separated from God forever, church. Oh, listen. I was raised in a house with no electricity, no running water, no bathrooms. It was heated with wood, later with coal, and finally we got oil. We had no insulation in the floors, the walls, or the ceilings. And most tenant farmers around us were living the same way. Think how this world has changed in our lifetime. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have anything like that, folks. We're going to have everything but a cell phone. Amen? Yeah, we're going to have everything in heaven. Won't be any lack of conveniences. What a time. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul learned that God's grace was sufficient for him. And when you learn about all the things that Paul went through in life, and let me read before I close today his infirmities and God's sufficient grace for Paul. It's found in 2 Corinthians 11. You might want to note this, make a note somewhere on your bulletin and read it later. In 2 Corinthians 11:24-31, listen to some of Paul's sufferings because he was serving the Lord. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. All these sufferings Paul experienced to serve Jesus Christ. It seems like we don't go through anything when you put it down side of what he's going through, folks. And there's been a lot of Christians that suffered a lot of hardships, a lot of persecutions, because they loved the Lord and they loved people and wanted people to know about the Lord. Church, listen. Don't forget your struggles are to get you to keep trusting the Lord and to keep serving the Lord. And you'll be blessed of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And amen. May we bow our hearts together for prayer. And our loving God, we thank you for this time and this opportunity and the blessedness of gathering together to worship the eternal God, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That you would provide salvation through the suffering and the death of Jesus on the cross, and that by his resurrection, you promised to give us a resurrected life in eternity also. Bless your word to our hearts. Encourage our hearts. Oh, blessed God, thank you for loving us so much and forgive us when we fail you. And we'll thank you and love you and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.